He said in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he listed all the evil things of the law, verse 19 and down. And 19 to 21. They forfeited their salvation because of idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotions, adultery, murders. It's time now to go forward and do what God has called us to do. I'm going to make an extension. I'm going to go ahead and read that. He said, "But if verse 18, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now watch this, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." This is very, very, very serious. And I call verse 19 through 21 the no-nos. This is the line you just don't ever cross. But you need God's strength to not cross it. Don't be afraid of crossing it, because fear has torment. You're going to have to master all these things by the love of God and the word of God. You're just going to have to do like everybody else that go to heaven. Fill your heart with the word of God and his love, and respond to the Holy Spirit. And he'll show you how to master these things. Now the Lord has given us another edge. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I told you, by living out the love of God, you won't miss it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's a lot of wonderful preachers from everywhere that didn't make heaven. That did not make heaven. A lot of people are lost. And they came straight through the church. We buy their books. We love their sermons. We quote them. But because, I don't know who, I'm not pointing names, I don't know. But many people, when you go to heaven, you're going to be surprised at who you see and also who you don't see. But the Lord told me he had a problem. Many people that they think they're in him, and they've deviated. And I'm like, Lord, it's got to be something we can do. For months I've been thinking, this has been on the back of my mind, the more he dealt with me about these things. It's got to be something. Then he said, I want you to make a recording, which I'm doing. Now this is it's become a two-part recording now. I tried to do it in one, but this is the extension. It's going to have continuation beside the one that, whatever title God gave me, he hadn't given me a title yet. But nevertheless, this is part two. I'll just put part two instead of continuation. That's why I normally put continuation, but I'll put part two. And this is why so many people are, they have deviated and don't know it. But the Lord said he would put it in their heart to get on my website and listen to this. And I thank God for it. And I'm a man of covenant, and I'm in full agreement. I believe what God told me, and that's why I'm doing this. So if he put anybody that you know personally on your heart to get them to listen to it, by all means, do it. Because by the love of God, we can all overcome. Now, if anybody that did cross the line and got trapped in the world somewhere, and I'll name them again, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? He listed them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Some of these things you may want to look up. Now, I believe lasciviousness, I believe that it is when you give yourself a license to sin, and through, you know, you use the grace of God to give yourself a license to sin. Well, you see, they don't make it. And uncleanness. If all the gray areas in your life, if you're not clear about them, just leave it alone. Idolatry. I'm going to tell you something about idolatry. Fear. Fearing people, putting people, whatever you put before God, whatever's bigger than God in your eyes, that is a form of idolatry. So, whatever situation you happen to be in, if you're in pain, if you have cancer, don't fear death. Don't fear defeat. If your bills are due and you just don't have the money, can't see how you're going to make it, remember that, you, first of all, you're going to live forever. Nothing will change that. God has a plan. So stop thinking about what you don't have and consider what you do have. Ask God to show you your options. Don't get caught up in the things that worry you. Idolatry, you know, it was easy. It was hard for me to break the curse of temptation. I did everything I knew, but I felt bothered by it until the Lord told me not to fear falling. When he said that, I sat up straight. I thought about it. I saw something. And I was, I already had the love. The Lord taught me to be free from it by loving people. But instead of being tempted with him, you love him, and you can't be tempted. But I still had the fear. When I dealt with the fear, it was no problem. And it hadn't been a problem since. So all forms of idolatry, anything of Satan makes itself look big, makes itself look beautiful, like you're underneath it. Now, Jesus Christ, he gave us his victory. So if we use his strength, we'll squash any bug we need to. We don't rely on our strength. He'll give us his strength. And that's not a religious quote. This real. This is real. Fill your heart with the love of his word. Love his word. Receive his word. And when he gives whatever wisdom he gives you, act on it. If he gives you a way out of escape, run. You'll get stronger and fight another day. If he gives you words to speak, sometimes in the middle of things, whether people were angry, whether it was a temptation, whether it was somebody speaking out of term, a woman that was flirting, whatever, he will always give me what to say and how to respond to every person, so that I could be appropriate. And whatever I said or did was beyond my intelligence, I promise you. So that's why I say live in history. He's going to give you what to say. If you're in court, just like Jesus said, and you're brought before the magistrates, don't start talking. Start listening and speak what he give you. He can cause you to speak beyond your years. If you have to preach to a multitude, God will put words in your mouth. I went to visit a friend of mine at church today. He did an ordination message, and they asked me if I had words, and the Lord put words in my mouth. You don't have to come up with something. I didn't study and prepare. I didn't even expect to say anything. I said, well, Lord, sure, help me. You know, he always give me something to say. You can get used to his strength. It's better. It's more perfect. And you're in the strategy of God. So idolatry, witchcraft. A man that's rebellious, that rebellion is the same thing as witchcraft. If the Lord give you a message and you preach something else, because you're in rebellion, you know, especially if it's wrong, if it's not the word. Witchcraft, remember, Satan is tricky. He's not just one side. He's not just one way. He's just like an adulteress. His ways are movable. Just because you don't burn candles and do incantations, that don't mean you're not a witch. All you have to do is be rebellious. to be a witch. Rebellion is the same sin, it's just as bad. And hatred. If you can hate a person, if you can get angry with a person and hold it and retain their sins against them, that's bad. That can cause you to miss heaven. Variance. I got to look that one up because I just don't know what variance is, but it's bad enough to miss heaven. So I will look it up. Emulations. I'm not sure what that is either, but it's probably lewd thoughts. Wrath. Let it go. Let the wrath go. Forgive it. All your enemies. When I first got saved, I knew that Jesus wanted me to forgive my enemies. I named everybody that crossed me. I named them. And I could sense that it pleased God that I forgave my enemies. Some of them I was afraid to fight because I felt like I might hurt them. I was so angry with them. But he saved me and I forgave him. But I named that name. So when I saw that it pleased God that I forgave my enemies and I prayed for them. Every time I sense something from the Lord, I go the extra mile. I said, Lord, I forgive everybody that did me wrong. Then I named their names. The older guys used to take my minibike. Anybody that ever bothered me, you know, they'll ride the gas out your minibike. You have to push it home. Or they'll take something you got. Steal your bias. Somebody stole my bias. I had to forgive these folks. And I prayed for them. And I sensed that it pleased God. Then I said, what else can I do? What else is... I thought about racism. I hate racism. I don't like it when people do people wrong because of the color of their skin or because they're different or from somewhere else. Like the gang activity, just because somebody's on another side of town. Black people, they hate people from the other side of town. I've heard guys say, why are you coming over here in our neighborhood seeing the girls in our neighborhood? And they'll jump on you for it. Racism is not always about race. It's just hatred. But I thought about how it works. And as I got to know people, I thought about how evil it is. And then people are deceived into this. And they need to be forgiven. So I saw that it pleased God when I forgave people that I knew that did me wrong, people that did my friends wrong, people that did my family wrong, and I thought about the Ku Klux Klan. Now, I said, I said, I need to be able to forgive them. I said, well, I forgive them. They're just people that's deceived by the enemy. And then I went a step further. I said, the people that held my family in slavery, we watched the movie Roots before, and slavery was bad. It was a terrible curse on the nation. You know, they divide families. They'd sleep with your daughter or whatever. It was bad. And so I forgave the slave owners. I remitted their sin. And guess what? I never feared racism again. I see people as people, and I love them. And I don't have a favorite race. I love everybody. And I know for a fact that the same people you know and love, some of the people we know and care about would do just as bad as the people that did harsh slavery in the old days. No, yes, they will. Anybody that sell drugs to somebody else, they've got slavery hatred in them. You have to have hatred to sell a man drugs and profit on his misery. You have to have hatred to take a man's daughter out of his house and sleep with her or his wife. Slave owners were treacherous or divide the whole family. They never see him again. And then they go in the house and go to sleep like nothing happened. This kind of rebellion It's straight from the pit of hell. It's not normal. God didn't put that in man. Hell brought it to us through sin. If your heart gets hard enough, people do that. People that won't get saved. I'm going to tell you something about sin that I learned. You know, I think a lot. And I noticed that the Lord does things. Whatever he does. Excuse me. Whatever he does it well. And he made hell. So one day I thought about, why hell? Why did he make hell? Why did he use hell to punish and get rid of sin? When he gave us a savior, he became our savior. He became he became a man. He became a man and died in our place. He gave us the very best savior we could have. He did it legally. The word of God became flesh and died in our place. When Israel prayed for a king, he gave them the best king that was available. And then he gave them David, which is the best king they ever had, till Christ came. And then when he gave us a planet, he gave us a beautiful planet. And it still has beautiful potential. It's going to be restored again. So I thought about everything that he gave me to do, he gave me his best. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Not an angel, the Holy Spirit. And I thought about why hell. Hell is very important. Man is made in God's image. Man is going to live forever. And man's potential is much greater than he can ever imagine. But man and sin together will become something terrible. And it's already been proven. God told Adam, the day you eat off that tree, you shall die. He died that day. He lived to be 930 years old. Now the Psalm said it, and Peter said, 1,000 years is like a day with God. And it's true. He didn't make 1,000 years. No man has, since that's in the lineage of Adam. So he died at the age of 930 years. Noah lived even longer. He lived to be 950 years. Methuselah, the oldest man recorded, is 969. But none of them made a day. But in the day of Noah, when he was 600, he had to make an ark because man had become so corrupt that they only thought of evil continually. Now, you take a mild-mannered person that won't get saved today, give him 600-800 years, there'll be something you don't want to see. Sin will cause them to be a monster. They have godly potential, and they're evil. So God had to do something with this kind of treachery. Satan started it. He fell and caused others to fall and perverted things. So he didn't use cold air. He used heat to deal with sin. Because that heat is better. Fire is better. Because that's what God chose. And it's forever. It's an everlasting thing. So if you go to hell, you are not in God's jurisdiction. He's not your Lord. He's not your king. He's not your savior. You rejected him through your ways, through your hatred, through your lust, desire, through your pride. If a person don't come back to the living love of God, they can't. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you didn't fulfill the ceremonial law. You ignored all the road signs. See, circumcision was a road sign. It represented being righteous in the heart. It was done on a man that in a place he could never forget. He would see his circumcision every time he saw himself naked. And they represented that we must be righteous from the heart. So, these are road signs. It won't make you righteous, but it causes you to look for a Savior. Even the law. Because the law was given, that's the strength of sin. So if you sin, you broke God's law. We were born in sin, so we all broke His law. So we need a Savior. The law is like a master schoolmaster to let us know we need a Savior. You can't live according to God's word with your strength. You need His strength. And when you receive His word in you, and just considering the love of God, you'll have what it takes to stand. And when it comes to a real authority, you'll have it. Old Testament people won by obedience. We win by obedience and authority. You have to live a life of God, a moral life of God. You have to live obedient to our King. Jesus is not just a Savior, He's a King. Either He's your Lord or He's not. One or the other. He's my Lord. He gets to tell me what to do. I don't tell Him what to do. I don't give Him orders. I ask Him what if I can have this or that. I ask how, sometimes when I'm praying, I say, well, how will this affect my life if I get this, if I do that? And then, you know, He came to me when He wanted to give me a blessing. He wanted to open the door so I could get my dream car. I thought I was going to wait another year. But He said, I want to bless you. I said, okay. He wanted me to pray for it. He said, pray for something. I started praying for souls. He said, no, I'm talking about something personal for you. I said, Lord, I want that Mustang that I prayed for years ago. He said, you got it. Well, I knew it was done. And my wife came and sat beside me. I was watching the Mecum Auto Auction. I watch it sometimes, see what cars are selling for. They're hot rods, people are fixed up. I do it too. But and she said, she sat that beside me with her laptop. What kind of car you like? I said a 15 and up Mustang, and I want the gas saving 4-cylinder engine with the 6-speed transmission. And then she said, what color? I told her. And she found one. Well, it was automatic. And then I was telling my boss about it. And a friend of mine works her overheard me say, I find that car for you. And he found the car. And it was in my price range, and I went and got it. Because God wanted to bless me. He cares about every part of our lives. He's not going to leave any joy out of your life. You don't have to beg, borrow, steal. You don't have to put yourself in front of others. You don't have to do anybody wrong. You don't have to upstage people. You don't have to do anything for vainglory. But if when we fill our heart with the love of God, we don't want to do that the evil, ugly stuff of this world. So, if you fill your heart with the love, get God to take you back to your first love. Listen to what God has to say. Address all of your concerns. Ask Him about it. And then help you and watch the Ugandan pastor on YouTube. Every Christian I know need to hear his testimony, even if they're living a godly life. Because God has a lot to say. This is important. If you're listening to this broadcast, the Lord sent you to this broadcast. He sent me to you because His return is imminent and He already paid for your life. He don't want to lose you to the world. But He can't hijack your will. And all the other broadcasts are free. They teach people how to walk according to God's love and become effective. You don't have to do anything outstanding to be effective. Present your body a living sacrifice. Fill your heart with the love of God. Receive all of His word. And pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And He'll show you what you're sanctioned to do. I can't do your job. You can't do my job or anybody else's. But you have your own work to do. Our purpose is to grow and learn. Learn his word. Jesus said, come to me, you that are weary. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. It, so, according to Galatians, when you work, when you live according to the love of God, you fulfill the law. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you love a man and knife him in the back? How can you love a man and lust after his wife? How can you love a man and do his children wrong? How can you love a man and steal his car? How can you fill your heart with the love of God and go rob a bank? That's impossible. So it all goes back. Don't let the enemy sucker you out of the off the narrow path. And your desires will elevate. You'll see yourself doing what God said. You'll have appetite for the things of God. And lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Now this is what God had me to do. And this is why I did. I want the Lord to be able to bring his people back home with him. I don't want no evil surprises. A lot of people are off track. They are teenagers, grew up in church. They won't set that. They won't darken the door of another church unless something happened to them. They do what they want to do, and they got, and their friends do the same thing. They allow evil communication and corrupt people to cause them to get in all forms of strife and go right back to the world. And then you can have fun in the Lord. If you fill your heart with his love, the options that you really have will be revealed. See, the love of God gave me a purpose. I fill my heart with his love, and he helps me relay it. He helped me heal, and then he helped me help others heal. But when other people have something to say, I receive it. Nothing. No vainglory. No vainglory. I don't need it. I don't want it. All I want, all I treasure is the time. I treasure God, his word, and the time he gave me to minister. I've got a bright future ahead of me. And I thank God for it. I thank the Lord for all the time he gives us to represent him. And I pray that he'll use me like a tool in his hand. Help me represent his will to as many people as possible. And I rebuke all the wiles of the enemy, all the debauchery of Satan. I rebuke all. I pray for the president. I pray for every person who has a heart to know God. Because Jesus prayed for those, not only his disciples, but those that would hear him. So I stand in the gap praying for people that love God, men of God that I admire. I pray for their families, because we need good men of God and good women of God. And I'm not ashamed of people who did wrong and went in the world if they want to come back. I want them back. I don't want nobody I know to miss heaven, but I know there are many that will. So that's all I have for now. Until next time, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.